you want to.
We're in a good grocery shop.
Oh, okay.
Where's the music?
Somebody's been eating my porridge.
Who's in charge around here?
Somebody's been sleeping in my bed.
You have no idea.
Somebody's been... Wait, what were the things that the Goldilocks, Three Bears? Sleeping on my bed.
Porridge.
Eating my porridge.
In a chair? Was it the chair?
Oh, somebody's been sitting in my chair. Yeah. Right, yeah, that's right. Well, anyway, it is Free Talk Live.
Some it's white the, chick breaking into the
it's
woods.
It's the Sunday edition. For some reason, the intro music... Well, was muted.
For some reason.
Once again, showing my prowess as an audio engineer.
Nice callback from yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. If you were listening yesterday, I had to refer to an authority on the subject to fix my audio problems. An actual authority, that is one who is an expert, not an authority as in one who belongs to a coercive gang of thugs who threatens you with violence to make you do their bidding. So, yeah. So that was fun.
Expertise is important.
Yeah. I was going to print out a color photo of Nikki because she won't be here tonight and facsimile Nikki. And
we just lost tape like it. Half the listenership and the viewers on YouTube or whatever.
And tape it to the chair just so we could have facsimile Nikki like we had facsimile Mark for some time early in the year. But
you got to tease it. Nikki may join us soon. Stand by.
Yeah. I didn't get here early enough to actually accomplish that particular task, so I just didn't do it. But here we are. It's the Captain's Log, Stardate 01302022. This is the Earthship Free Talk Live in the studio. It's myself, the Lord, Reverend, Doctor, and possibly soon to be Ambassador Captain Kickass joining me.
First Mate, Richie Rich?
Sure, why not?
Why not?
We got to get you a Gilligan hat, though.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
A three-hour tour.
Well, I mean, you are joining us if you're listening, and right now it's the beginning of the show. It's 3 hours, so, you know, a three-hour tour kind of fits.
And it's going to end in a shipwreck anyway.
Yeah, probably. the telephone number is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. If you would like to join us in the conversation tonight, Richie Rich, you brought in some very interesting show prep, and we're just going to,
as always,
we're just going to kick things off here with this bit from futurism.com. It says, wait, that's the wrong article.
Oh, no.
Yep. Wait, where's the right article? Hang on. What did I do?
Just do the one in front of you, man. Just do the one in front of you.
All right. Well, we'll start off with the pig human heart transplant secret weapon.
Wait, you got to pause. Dramatic pause. Let them think about it.
The pig human heart transplant's secret weapon? Question mark. Cocaine.
All right.
Now, first of all, if you're listening and you don't know what the heck we're talking about, doctors, medical professionals,
sure, we'll call them that,
have figured out how to put a pig's heart in a human.
So, credit where credit is due, that's kind of an important breakthrough as far as keeping humans alive.
Now, it occurs to me that it would be really funny if that happened to somebody who is employed as a law enforcement officer.
They're the only ones that qualify for this transplant.
Or maybe they get like special privilege, they get moved up the list.
Yeah. Right?
They get early movers advantage or something. I don't know.
I don't know if it gets covered in this article, but the guy who got the heart, like I think the original guy who got the human heart, there were...
You mean the pig heart?
The pig heart, yeah. They were like up in arms about him because he didn't qualify for like the human heart, and he had some, you know, conditions or something was wrong with him as a transplant patient. I'm like, well, we'll just experiment with the pig heart then. And then got this pig heart.
I mean, generally, that's how innovation comes about.
Yeah.
You're trying to solve a problem, and whatever you have in front of you, you know, the thoughts that you had going into the problem, how you're going to fix it, just didn't work out for some reason.
Sure.
And somebody goes, I got an idea.
Why don't we try the pig? We just slaughtered it from bacon. We got the heart left over. Just throw it in, Steve. You need a heart, Steve? We got the pig heart out back.
Steve's a big dude. The pig was kind of about the same size. Yeah. I bet you it'll fit.
He's got the right chest cavity for it.
I don't. How do you even go about evaluating that, right? Like, first of all, I wouldn't think that swine would be compatible with Homo sapiens.
Okay.
As far as the heart is concerned, right? Or any organ for that matter. I would think that they just wouldn't be compatible. They're different animals. You know, I would just figure, hey, that can't work. That'd be my first impression. I wouldn't even explore the possibility.
Well, there's a reason they test mice, which you wouldn't think compatible either, right? It's because they're close enough to the reaction that humans would get.
Well, okay, so to some extent, I remember seeing the bit where they grew, like, the human ear on the back of the mouse.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So I know that they were doing weird experiments with animals and humans,
right,
and that
but,
kind of
but
thing.
The reason they choose mice is because of the compatibility of the results. They go, we're going to test this on mice. If it works, then we can we know that there's a good likelihood it'll work
but
on
humans.
But
they didn't put a pig's heart in a mouse.
I know they didn't put a pig's heart in a mouse. But what I'm saying is you wouldn't think mice would be closer
to
humans either.
Pretty big mouse.
I get it. But what I'm saying is
or a small pig.
Jesus.
Go ahead.
No, just that the
for the record, you look more like Jesus than I do.
I know. I almost applied for one of those local productions because they were doing something with Jesus. I'm like, I already got the long hair, the beard. Like,
yeah.
I can act on stage, right? Yeah. But just that you wouldn't think about mice being compatible either because of the size, shape, difference, whatever. But they are. And so it doesn't seem too far-fetched for pigs to be as compatible or more compatible with organs and whatnot.
I mean, pigs are tasty. I'll give them that. Yeah. I'm a big fan of bacon. I like ham.
90%. You know, humans are 90% bacon anyway.
Pulled pork. Oh, man. Oh. Like slow roasted pulled pork. In the smoker. Oh, delicious. Yes.
Hawaii specialty? Klo pig.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. A pig roast. I've been to a few of those in my time where they dig the pit.
Yep.
And, you know, get the fire going, heat up some embers and some rocks and whatever, and chuck the pig down in there after prepping it, and then just
a few hours later, dig the pig out.
Yep.
And feast.
Delicious. Yummy. So, anyway, so we've covered the first part of this headline. The pig human heart transplant. Okay, so.
It works.
They've figured out some way, a medical procedure, whatever it is, to put a pig's heart inside of a human being. So then the second part of this is that it needed a secret weapon. In order to, I think, make the process go better.
Like the Colonel's chicken, the 11th herb and spice.
Right. And so somehow that secret weapon that they discovered or decided to use was cocaine.
That's the interesting part. More so than is the pig heart compatible with a human, but who went, you know what I think might work? Cocaine.
you know what I think might work? Hang on, I think I've got some in my pocket, right?
Right.
You know, like, oh, hey, look, I had this left over from the party Friday night, you know. Let's try some of this.
Accidentally sprinkled it on in the middle of the surgery and all of a sudden started beating back to life.
This sounds like some sort of horrific, you know, outside of the U.S., outside of any jurisdiction, you know, weird Island of Dr. Moreau sort of experiments where you're going to have some half-breed pig man.
Some Wuhan lab in China, perhaps.
Some bat with a pig's heart.
Who knows? I don't know what they do there. It's never good.
All right, so here we'll get started. U.S. surgeons successfully transplanted a genetically modified pig heart into a living human for the first time earlier this month, a groundbreaking moment in the history of medicine. I don't know when was this written. Doesn't have a date.
This article was Monday, so whatever the day was.
All right. And to keep the gene-hacked pig heart beating during the lengthy operation, surgeons used a drug cocktail with an eyebrow-raising ingredient, cocaine. Vice reports.
See, it was that. They're like, you know what this needs? I'm tasting it here, and let's just throw some cocaine in there. I didn't do what happens.
The surgeons, we'll tell you how the surgeons were able to use this. And more about this story coming up here on Free Talk Live. If you want to join us, 603-283-6160. Do you have a pig's heart? Yes, come on. Come on and listen to Free Talk Live.
Do it.
Huh?
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it every night between 7 and 10 p.m. Do it live.
Do it live.
Because, well, you actually can't call. We're a live call-in radio program. So you can only call when we're live, which is 7 to 10 p.m. every day.
You can call whenever you want. You just
you're not gonna you're not gonna get on the show if you don't call between 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern time.
Believe it or not, the hosts aren't on the air. Leave a message at the beep.
hey, my. Neil Young threatens Spotify. Came up with that one today.
Nice.
Trying to work some sort of, you know, make a parody of a Neil Young song that's a parody of the situation that he's put himself in.
I just like that he thought he had enough clout to dethrone Joe Rogan.
Well, and also like make no mistake about, I'm talking to listeners, make no mistake about what Neil Young was saying. He was attempting to coerce Spotify into removing Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
So, you know, for a guy that is famous for these sort of like anti the man songs.
Well, you're only anti man until you get wealthy and then you owe your fealty to the man.
Yeah, that seems to be the way it goes. I mean, he could be senile too. He's older than dirt, right?
Get rid of Joe Rogan and you guys can't play my music. Fine.
Yeah. Well, and he doesn't even own the catalog either. So,
like, and they got rid of him anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Double whammy. Not only can you not make this threat, screw you anyway.
Yeah.
And was it Joni Mitchell jumped in? I want my music pulled as well in support.
Yeah. There's been a bunch of memes around the internet, too, about that. The I'm trying to remember his name. Polinsky, the guy from John Candy played him. He was the guy who there's a famous like Christmas movie where he's in a polka band.
Oh, Uncle Buck.
Uncle Buck, yes. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And so the meme is a picture of him going, you know, hey, Spotify, we're going to remove our we want you to remove our music if you don't, you know, cancel Joe Rogan. It's hilarious.
I love Uncle Buck. Yeah. It's a great movie.
So at any rate, we were talking about this. We really hadn't even started talking about the article from futurism.com.
It's hard to get past the headline.
The pig human heart transplant's secret weapon. Cocaine. Yes. Quote, the cocaine name pops up because everybody thinks, oh my God, what is cocaine doing in here? That's the sub quote underneath the headline here. So, yes, we covered in the first segment that the U.S. surgeon successfully transplanted a genetically modified pig heart into a living human being for the first time earlier this month.
Which is groundbreaking on its own. Like, wow. Can't believe they did that.
Yeah. And in addition.
But wait, there's more.
To keep the gene hacked pig heart beating during the lengthy operation, surgeons used a drug cocktail with an eye. Now, it says the surgeons used it. Surgeons used a drug cocktail with an eyebrow raising ingredient, cocaine. So were the surgeons hanging out, just like partying with, like, you know, cocaine infused beverages and.
That's what I was intimating before the break. Like, oh, well, you know what this cocktail needs? If we're going to be doing this surgery for hours, I'm going to need a little bit more than this. Can we sprinkle in some cocaine?
They've got the slow roasted pulled pork, you know, on like a buffet table just behind them in the surgery room.
Well, they had to get the heart from something,
right? And then they got cocktails.
Don't want to waste it. Yeah.
They got cocktails. And the surgeons even had to get permission from the Drug Enforcement Administration to use the nose candy. I like that they call it nose candy.
How do you ask for that?
Yeah, how do you, first of all, somebody has to have the idea, you know what this needs? This needs cocaine. And then, you know what this also needs? Permission.
And then Bob goes like, where are we supposed to get cocaine at this hour? I know, ask the DEA.
Yeah, like, does one of them, like, do they have a family member that's in the DEA and they're like, let me call you Bob and see what he says. Yeah. Or, you know, I don't know. The cocaine name pops up because everybody thinks, oh my God, what is cocaine doing in here?
Mohammed
Mohiddin, director of cardiac xenotransplantation at the University of Maryland Medical Center, told Vice. Counterintuitively, the drug was injected into the heart to prolong its longevity.
There you have it. Cocaine extends your lifespan. Wow. You heard it here first.
You're on Free Talk Live. When we're not using this solution, we were getting failures within 20 or 48 hours, the surgeon explained. But when we started using this and infusing the heart with this solution, the heart became well-preserved and started beating very well.
There you go. So again, right, they're doing the experiments before the actual surgery, and someone has to have the hypothesis, right? What more? What can we do to regulate this beating?
I just got a picture of Jim Brewer in my head. Like, you know what this surgery needs, man? Cocaine.
Science. This is the science I trust.
Yes. Trust the science. The cocktail.
Testing and experimentation followed by human trials.
Totally unrelated. Because they used the term drug cocktail. I used to rehearse in one of these band rehearsal facilities.
You mean a garage?
No, it's like somebody has some warehouse space.
Okay. I'm just kidding.
And they're not doing well using it as like storage. So they decide to rent it out to band. This only usually happens in big cities where you can't be loud without getting the man called on you.
I was being mean with the garage comment. I apologize.
Yeah, it's usually basements.
Oh, okay. Right? Yeah, so
garage would be like a step up.
Sorry, the video game's called Garage Band, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know.
They didn't call it Basement Band or Warehouse Band.
Well, it should be called, well, we'll get into that later. Okay. Anyway.
Continue.
We rehearsed next door to a band called Pain Cocktail. And they were always like, you could just smell the drugs, really, you know, that they were all the time. Like, what are you, is that? Yep. Pain cocktail. They rehearsed.
Methamphetamine was permeating the walls.
Well, it was mostly marijuana that we were smelling, but like, I mean, when they would come out, you could tell that they were not in our realm of reality.
Okay. And that's where the good music is made.
And we joked. We were like, they shouldn't be called pain cocktail. They should be called drug cocktail. Anyway,
pain-free cocktail with that much cannabis.
Yeah, true. The free is silent. The cocktail they used on this human pig heart transplant, though, was developed by Swedish pharmaceutical Zvivo. It's X-V-I-V-O. I'm assuming it's pronounced Zvivo. Included a number of other ingredients, including cortisol and adrenaline. Now, I imagine the adrenaline part because I think everybody has seen Pulp Fiction.
Stab it right in the heart.
Just a pure shot of adrenaline to wake up the OD. 603-283-6160. We got a little bit more about this human pig heart transplant and a bunch of other stuff in store for you. This is Free Talk Live. More is on the way.
Free Talk Live's video archives have been on Library for years. Library is an uncensorable, decentralized, blockchain-based media sharing protocol, and we're big fans of it here on Free Talk Live. In 2020, Library launched Odyssey, a video sharing website to compete with YouTube, and it's really taking off, now with over 1 million channels, many of whom are disaffected YouTube creators. During YouTube's crackdown for not towing the government line on COVID, the Free Talk Live YouTube channel started receiving strikes and could be completely taken down at any moment. Thankfully, Odyssey started offering live streaming, so we're now streaming live every night and posting our video archives permanently to Odyssey. You can watch live or anytime on our Odyssey channel by visiting video.freetalklive.com. If you want to go all in, download the desktop app at lbry.com, and then every video archive you watch, you'll help seed and keep it online forever. At minimum, we ask you visit video.freetalklive.com and follow us on Odyssey today. video.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for tuning in and listening. Free Talk Live is a live call-in, nationally syndicated radio talk program that's also broadcast on the internet and some satellite stations as well. So we got a pretty wide reach. And you could call in, talk about whatever's on your mind. We generally bring in stuff to discuss. And if you want to opine on that, you can. You can call in about anything else at 603-283-6160. The choice is up to you. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
And Richie Rich.
And I want to tell you that Bitcoin.com is the best source for learning about cryptocurrency. You can go there now and click on Get Started right at the top of the page. Once you do that, you will find all sorts of valuable information neatly organized to suit your needs. There's no longer any excuse for ignoring this very important and world-changing information. If you're already a knowledgeable crypto user, you can check out news.bitcoin.com to get the latest headlines of all the news that's relevant to you. Bitcoin.com is your source for everything crypto, like getting a wallet, mining, trading, and all the latest cryptocurrency news, all on a very slick and easy-to-use website. Please visit Bitcoin.com. All right, so we've been talking about this article from Futurism.com, where they did indeed transplant a genetically modified pig heart into a living human for the first time. They had made some attempts that sort of failed within the first couple of days.
I think, it's not clear in the article, but I don't think these were like attempts at the transplant, right? These were first attempts at getting the heart to regulate itself, I hope.
They didn't leave
humans on the table because they didn't test this out ahead of time.
The quote says, when we were not using this solution of drugs, including cocaine, we were getting failures within 48 hours. They don't say what specifically they were doing. Like, you know, I would imagine, though, that they have these artificial hearts, the mechanical ones.
Sure.
And so I would imagine that, you know, they can keep a guy alive for an extended period of time on the mechanical heart while they attempt the organic heart transplant. And then if it fails, put it back?
Maybe. I don't know.
I guess. I'm not a surgeon.
Kick the homeless dude out of the hospital.
This is not surgical advice.
Tag him and track him.
You know how, like, in China, there's a bit of a thing going on where they're attacking the Uyghurs?
Oh, yeah.
And I mean attacking them and taking, like, parts.
Like legit concentration camp stuff going on with Uyghur Muslims in China.
And they're harvesting organs for transplants from this particular subset of people, which is horrific, and a whole lot of the news doesn't talk about it ever. We've talked about it repeatedly here on Free Talk Live. You can find our archives over at freetalklive.com. But what if now we're going to see a premium on pigs? Because their parts are going to be compatible with humans now.
So my bacon's going to be more expensive?
Sadly.
That pork roast that you love so much?
Or maybe because they can use the heart in a different way, more pigs will be getting butchered, and because there's more demand and the supply will go up and price come down?
Maybe. Well, that's a thought. It also says genetically modified. So I don't know if they're like raising the pigs differently or... Somehow using the hearts.
Right, are they harvesting the heart and modifying it in some way?
Yeah, that's not clear.
They don't make that clear. So scientists still don't know why exactly cocaine is an effective way to preserve hearts. But one thing is for certain, without drugs, the heart would have likely been rejected by its recipient's body.
What you don't know, man, is the human heart or pig's hearts have cocaine receptors on them, which were like naturally disposed to use this cocktail and this drug. Don't let the man tell you otherwise.
This is a quote from, I believe, the surgeon. Yes, it is. It's like a transplant from human to human where you still have to use drugs, but you know you can control it.
Says every addict ever in the beginning.
If we had not done that, the rejection happens within minutes and the organ is useless. So,
I hate useless organs.
Come on, girls, let's get out on that floor and get on those organs. I mean, our console organs now on sale at the lower level of the mall.
There you go.
Let's go to your calls and thoughts. We have Tom calling from California. Tom, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hello?
Yep, you're live on the air.
Okay. Well, that's very intriguing. I was wondering if they did any neurological testing. If they're putting some cocaine in the blood system, what are the other results? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I don't know. That's an interesting question as to, you know, what the neurological impact would be on a drug cocktail such as this, particularly during a heart implant of a genetically modified pig heart into a human. I'm not a surgeon, so I don't really have any clue as to what the impacts might be.
It's beyond the scope of the article, but also probably too soon. Like, I'm sure this dude is still recovering from surgery in some form or fashion because it's like just earlier this month. So within the last 30 days, I don't know how long it takes to, you know, get over heart transplant surgery.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they're going to be running a whole bunch of tests.
Go ahead, Tom.
My other question would be, who gave them, if even a common citizen cannot obtain cocaine on the street, how do the medical communities, what the law lets them get the coke?
Well, so they do say in the article that they had to ask permission of the Drug Enforcement Administration.
Right.
So somebody, they are scientists. There must be a form that they can just fill out.
They got permission from the DEA and then went to the CIA for supply. That's what happened.
Nice. Okay, now.
Yeah,
can I ask you one last question, please?
Sure, go ahead.
Because I know about Porcupine Realty. People are anxious to move to the Shire. But what about a vacant land or somebody
it's
maybe
available.
Not high-end, like a mobile home type? Do you have any information for people that are like-minded moving to the Shire or the low-end? Or family? I never heard it. I went on your website. And there's nothing about people with kids. It's all about, some loner or some hippie wants to move up there. No, I'm asking you about family. What do you think about that?
Well, I could tell you that probably the majority of people moving are families. There are, you know, like I'm a single dude, and there are, you know, several single people that move. A lot of folks come up as couples. Sometimes that doesn't work out very well for the couples. But a majority of the people moving are families.
It depends on the area.
Yeah, it depends on the area. You probably need to be willing to commute, so you're going to need a vehicle.
Again, depends. I don't know what the job situation is.
Yeah.
But for a long time, and there's still, you know, a community center on the seacoast of New Hampshire that's more family oriented and more family friendly.
That's true.
And that community seems to be where people who value families and homeschooling environment and that sort of thing migrate there instead of some of the other areas.
So
if that's your thing,
okay,
that's where to look.
Please repeat. And I'm very honestly, if you can please repeat, which is the homeschooling? That's what I was sort of zeroing in on.
Yeah, integrate yourself into one of the, you know, groups or forums for the seacoast area of New Hampshire.
Very well.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call, Tom. We appreciate it. 603-283-6160 if you would like to join us.
At this point, there's something for everyone.
There really is.
Right?
And
if you come single, there's a spot for you. If you come with, you know, as a couple, there's something for you to do. If you're political activists, hey, there's something for you.
Yeah.
If you're apolitical activists, guess what? Also something for you to do. And if you're family-oriented or family-friendly, there's something for you as well.
Yeah, there's so much going on right now, and the movement is growing, and I love seeing it. If you are listening to us and you are of a freedom mind and you want to be a part of the solution, you're not afraid to do the work, you know, that is, you know, moving, finding a suitable place, making new friends, etc. and so on, please consider joining us here in New Hampshire. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is on the way.
We're back.
We are. Oh my gosh, we are. How did that happen?
You see, Captain, what happened is the clock strikes a certain time when the music plays.
I can barely hear you over the music. When you talk slap,
I will talk loud.
Because if we talk like this, it'll be too loud. Here on Free Talk Live, it's the smooth and dulcet tones of me, your host, the Reverend Captain Kickass, and joining me
tonight, it's Richie Rich in the studio.
We will attempt to talk softly and carry a big stick.
You turn into William Shatner all of a sudden? We will attempt to talk softly.
Don't know what we'll talk about next. I think that we will have to refer to our show prep to get the next story.
Check the tabs on the
You got to do the shoulder shake, the William Shatner shoulder shake. You don't get that shoulder moving, you ain't doing the William Shatner impression, that's for sure. 603-283-6160 is the telephone number if you'd like to join us. We'll get to your calls in just a minute. I need to tell you that we are still raising funds for Give Directly. This is the first nonprofit that allows you to give money directly to people living in extreme poverty. They locate recipients in need, and they use mobile money to send cash with no strings attached. In the past decade, they've delivered $400 million to over 1 million people. Research shows that giving cash to people living in poverty can help drive a range of very important and positive changes in their lives, like employment, nutrition, health, and education. In addition, cash allows individuals to invest what they need individually instead of relying on aid organizations, donors, or governments who are thousands of miles away to choose for them. Isn't this what you would prefer? Free Talk Live is also matching your donations to Give Directly, helping families in Bome and Kilifi counties in Kenya who are in need. Free Talk Live is matching your donations up to $30,000. So if you're feeling generous this holiday season, head over to give.freetalklive.com and help these areas plagued by drought, floods, and food insecurity. There may not be a better way to help families in Kenya. Give.freetalklive.com. Again, give.freetalklive.com.
How long is it going to be the holiday season? It's almost February.
Well, if every day is a holiday,
okay,
then yeah.
It's about to be a Valentine's Day.
I say holiday season? Yeah. I usually skip over that part. Let me just make an edit here.
Make a note. Cross that part out.
Yep.
If you're feeling loving this Valentine's season,
you could give a pig's heart. I wonder if the pig's heart is susceptible to Cupid.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
You gonna fall in love with a cop on Valentine's Day?
And to our callers, you know, bit about what kind of neurological difference might there be with a human walking around with a pig's heart. Like, you know, this seems like the kind of story or television show where, you know, the guy gets it and, like, he starts, I don't know, rolling around in mud, you know,
okay,
like acting in pig ways, right? He no longer sleeps in his bed. He roots around in some mud and some hay. And
he can find truffles.
You know, yes.
Becomes a millionaire with his new truffle finding business.
Yeah.
It's by this tree, something, I'm telling you.
Something like that.
Dig here.
Things could get carried away.
We'll save that for season two.
Him and his wife have like little mini, like half pig chimera, chameleon, you know, whatever.
I think chimera is the right word.
Yeah. Pig man. All right. Let's go to
Spider pig.
Man bear pig, right? Half man, half bear, half pig. Let's go to your calls. We have Robert in South Carolina. Robert, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes, I would just like to say that, you know, the pigs have a right to live. In Germany, we call that Daseinberechtigung. And they're also not schuldfähig. That means that they're not legally responsible. Animals aren't. So that means if a pig or an animal does something which is not proper, humanity is not allowed to kill it because it shouldn't even be held responsible. There's always a human responsible when an animal kills a person or hurts a person, and that's because a human being acted irresponsibly, either negligently or intentionally. Result, there was an intentional intent to kill somebody.
Yeah, I'll say I used to be a commercial fisherman for a period of time, and one of the expeditions we went out on for a month was fishing for shark. And this was in the Gulf of Mexico. And my job was to be a gaffer. And that meant that I had this large wooden pole with a giant iron hook at the end of it. And this other guy, John, was also, he would stand on the other side of the tuna door. And as the sharks were being reeled in, we would have to jab the sharks in their gills with these iron hooks and then lift them up into the boat. And so, of course, this would anger the shark.
Sure.
And then our another guy on the boat would come over with a giant club and beat the shark in its face until it stopped moving. And then, you know, we'd chuck it down in the ice hole and another guy would, you know, gut it and all that stuff.
I hear your point about the shark, but I don't know if I want to extend that to, like, all animals everywhere that it requires human negligence or intention. Because that would imply that humans, being an apex predator, have no natural habitat, right?
Of course we have a natural habitat, but we don't have to exclude all other beings from our habitat, which we share with them.
I understand that, but if I'm walking down the street, right, and a stray dog attacks me, I don't, like, then somebody my fault?
No, it was the person who let that dog be stray, it's their fault, and they should be held responsible.
Well, wild coyote.
Yeah, sometimes dogs are stray just by nature, like humans have
okay.
No, you know.
Yeah. If it's a coyote, then, first of all, you should have the proper protection. In other words, normally in a city there aren't going to be coyotes walking around, and if you live in a place where there are coyotes walking around, then you should carry a spray and also a gun just in case the coyote attacks you.
But and we also have wild bears.
Well, hang on. Also, if it is a coyote, you have to watch out for the especially dangerous ones. You'll know them if they're carrying around, like, paint and paintbrushes, okay, or if they have anything with them labeled Acme.
Yeah, a briefcase from the Acme Corporation.
Yes.
But you hear my point, though. Like, there are animals that exist in nature that are capable of killing humans just by their very nature.
Yeah.
The most dangerous animal to a human being is another human being.
I understand that. But there are also people who go on wilderness hikes, right, and get attacked by mountain lion.
Yep.
And I don't... you're saying it's the human's fault, the human's responsibility for, like, going into that area? As if the human doesn't have a right to be there?
The human has a right to be there, and normally those animals won't attack. The only time an animal will attack is if it's hungry or if it's – because the animals don't generally attack human beings.
Hunger is a strong motivator,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, they don't generally. It's the – your use of always, Robert, is what the argument was for.
Okay, well
– or the responsibility on the human, right? Like, it's the human's fault.
You should be prepared with for example, if you point a gun up into the air and you shoot it, the animal will normally be scared because he'll realize that there's a danger there. That those kinds of sharp sounds cause fear for animals. They fear that, so they would run away.
I've also been trained not to shoot warning shots because you're responsible for where that bullet lands.
Out in the wilderness, I won't land in any place that's going to hurt anybody, for sure.
That you're aware of. Hunters get shot in the face all the time by other hunters because they didn't think anyone was there.
Okay, then bring a gun with blanks in it if you feel that way. You could do that. It's no problem.
All right.
But it's always a human being who's responsible for an animal. Then don't swim out in the middle of the ocean if you think you might get attacked by a shark.
Well, that's why I'm a little more amenable to the shark example. Right, because that's clearly not where humans belong.
Yeah,
we don't have gills or webbed things to swim with.
And if you fear a shark, there are chemicals that you can bring along these days. There are also some kind of an electronic device that emits some kind of a signal which the sharks don't like. There are ways, you know, but you have to check those things out in advance. Just don't do stupid things, you know?
Okay.
Hey, thanks for the call, Robert. So, yeah, I was just thinking about how angry these sharks were when we were fishing for them.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Like, no, I mean, like, separate of...
You have just taken them out of their environment and put them on a boat. When was the last time a shark was on a boat?
And jabbed a couple iron hooks into their neck.
Right.
Right, you know.
Like, I'd be pretty pissed, too. I might want to fight back as well.
And they did. It was a unique experience, so, anyway.
But I don't see how humans can exist in the wild and have be responsible for their safety and then also be responsible for the death of the animal. Right.
Yeah, it's generally I stay away. I always stay away from the word always.
Okay. But then where's the natural human habitat? Are we forced to live in cities then where we're not going to get attacked by wild animals?
Where is the natural human habitat? got to be call a cave in. Or something, right?
Call in.
603-283-6160. What is the human's natural habitat? We'll talk more about this and a whole bunch of other stuff. Coming up, this is Free Talk Live.
The Free State Project has reached its goal of 20,000 liberty lovers who've pledged to move to New Hampshire and get active to achieve liberty in our lifetime. Perhaps you're trying to figure out what part of New Hampshire should be your destination. If so, consider Keene. You'll find more than 150 reasons to move to Keene at move.freekeene.com. Keene is famous for its historic, publicity-generating activism, as well as being the liberty media capital of the world. It's home to freekeene.com, New Hampshire's destination for liberty activism, news, and opinion. For years, we've been compiling over 150 reasons to move to Keene at move.freekeene.com, where you'll learn about some of what's happening here and what makes Keene a great place to live. If you love liberty, you'll probably enjoy anywhere you end up in the Shire. But do your due diligence first. Please visit move.freekeene.com for the full list of over 150 reasons to move to Keene. That's move.freekeene.com.
Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live.
Live, free talk.
Talk live, free.
Talk free. Live.
Live. Live, live, live.
Live from Keene, New Hampshire, it's Sunday night.
With Free Talk Live. Your host and musical guest.
I am the Reverend Captain Kickass. Joining me,
Richie Rich.
We're in the studio. The telephone number that you need to join us on air in the studio is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And we're kicking off hour number two here. Coming up, I want to talk about the scientists who are attempting to predict exactly when society will collapse.
Hey, he found the right article.
It's the title of the show, too, so I had to make sure I could dig that one back up to, you know, talk
we about. We really that. Meant to lead on hour one, but hey, things happen.
No, I'm glad that we didn't, actually, because I wanted to also talk about the pig, human, man, beer, pig, heart, cocaine, cocktail thing.
If you're listening to the podcast, listen to hour one after this part.
Yeah, if you're just tuning into the show, you missed a very entertaining first hour of Free Talk Live tonight. After the show is over, you can find a repeat of the show over at freetalklive.com.
Repeat?
Yeah, a rerun, if you will. Okay. Right? You know, a backlog, archive.
Freetalklive.com.
Yeah. Archive.freetalklive.com.
Something like that.
Yeah. I mean, if you just go to freetalklive.com, there's a player on the left-hand side, and there's a little scrolly thing down below, and you just pick out, you know, the last week or so is usually up there, and then there's another link for if you want to go and search for further back episodes, you can do so. But before we talk about the scientists, let's go to Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes, I just want to bring up that those nine people killed in the auto wreck in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I did some looking during the break here, and it looks like somebody ran a red light and caused a multi-vehicle incident where nine people have been pronounced dead.
Red lights don't work.
That's unbelievable. Yeah, but I was thinking that should have been out of state of New Mexico. I mean, I'm surprised that it got out of
because there are no bad drivers in Nevada.
Yeah, wait. So people don't run red lights unless they're in New Mexico?
Well, the whole point is that we do it more. We have like five cars in a row running red lights. But over here, we all learn to like count 1 or 2 seconds before the light turns green. So, but I know that I think Nevada, don't they have a stricter speeding and traffic violation and
I don't know, but hang on,
there's
Sarah.
A reason it's called an accident.
Hang on, Sarah. You're saying that when you come to a stoplight and it's red, you stop. And then when it turns green, you wait for like 2 or 3 seconds before you go?
Well, people that are still alive in New Mexico, they do that.
So
they got about 3 to 5 cars running red light at 60 miles an hour.
I'm asking what you specifically do, or do you not drive?
Well, I do not drive, but I have to like duck and dodge cars so that I don't get hit by a car.
Okay.
But my perspective is that this is the trend that when they took down all of our red light cameras, it was a national trend. They took down the speeding vans all across America. It's been about 6 years.
Because they were ripping people off.
Yeah.
Okay, and now the end result is 9 people are killed because they're speeding and running red light.
But this didn't happen.
Has anything to do with that.
This didn't happen in New Mexico. The light was red, and the person ran it. I mean, red lights aren't capable of physically stopping people from moving.
So to your point, Captain, real quick, I want to go back to it because you asked her if she actually does.
Yeah.
When my light turns green, I will typically still look both ways before entering the intersection.
Yes.
I may not wait 2 or 3 extra seconds, but I will make sure. Especially, you know, with the weather that it was here last night, right, with the blizzard and the roads being messy.
Yeah.
You don't even know if people are going to be able to stop, even if they want to stop.
Sure, sure. In weather
like
that.
So it's just smart. Well, in general, it's just smart, right, to check, make sure that that guy is going to stop before proceeding in front of him as they're coming to a red light.
Sure, but in a situation where nobody is coming and nobody is waiting, everybody who needs to stop is stopped, if anybody.
Yeah.
If that light turns green, I'm on it immediately.
Yeah. But it's because in your periphery you have checked.
Yes.
Right? You went, okay, it's now safe.
Yes.
Yeah. It's smart to check.
Okay.
I don't know if you got to wait an extra 2 to 3 seconds, but checking is safe driving.
Yeah, no, I agree. Okay. I agree. And also, I consider myself a very safe winter driver. No, let me rephrase that. I'm a very good winter driver.
Okay.
Right? Some people, when they ride with me in the winter, they don't feel safe. But I do, because I have a pretty good idea of what I'm doing driving in the snow with the vehicle that I have or whichever vehicle I'm in. There's certain things you have to take into account for. Is your vehicle rear-wheel drive, then you have to drive in a certain way, in a certain method, or not drive at all, depending on the road conditions. If your car is front-wheel drive, you can do a few more things and drive a little differently than you can with a rear-wheel drive vehicle.
In college, my car was rear-wheel drive. I never put on snow tires in Spokane, Washington.
Right.
I just drifted around places.
My first four winters, I drove a 1978 Oldsmobile with a Chevy 350 rear-wheel drive.
Okay.
Right? No snow tires. Not even like, I don't even know what kind of tires I had.
So sometimes to make that turn, you got power over, man.
Well, yeah, but also you do things like make sure you have weight in the trunk.
Yep.
For extra traction. Yep. I actually had bags of cement.
Okay.
So,
same thing.
Yeah. You know, they were just cheaper.
Same idea.
Yeah, same idea. Anyway, Sarah, go ahead.
So what's the status of the red light cameras in the state of Nevada? It seems like more of them were, probably all of them got taken down like they did in Texas. And so the people think that, well, I could run a red light. Nothing's going to happen. But you know what? For every one, like 500-600 times that you run a red light, nothing ever happens. And that one time, the 700th and the first one is when they have a massive wreck like
this. I don't know if people run red lights thinking nothing is going to happen.
Yeah.
Right. I think the vast majority of that is not paying attention, which is why you could call it an accident or negligence.
Yeah.
Right. Or there's the known fact that all four lights are red before one light turns green. And so people will run the red knowing that the other light's not going to turn green right away.
This will sound oxymoronic, but there is a safe way to run red lights and stop signs.
Just look.
Yeah, I mean, there's a safe way to do it.
I've done it.
But, like, it takes experience and a bit of practice to do it safely.
I was heading home one day in Hawaii, and my buddy called me, like, late. I was like, we were supposed to meet up. He didn't call me. I passed his house, and then he called me. And I crossed over, like, 3 lanes of traffic to get to the left turn lane. Saw that there were no cars coming the other way because the lights were both green at that time.
Yep.
Didn't even slow down. Just busted a Huey on the red and headed back the other way, no problem.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I judged it to be safe, and I was correct.
Right. Sarah, have you ever run a red light?
No, not really. But, you know, Ian, he always argues with me about this so-called victimless crime. If you're speeding, and you have never hurt anybody, you never wrecked them to a car, why should you get a ticket?
Correct.
But the thing is that, look at this incident, is that one time they were speeding and they couldn't stop for the red light and they killed 9 people.
It doesn't say they were speeding.
The thing about it is that most of the time that people speed, run the red light and stop sign, most of the time nobody gets killed and hurt.
I run stop signs at speed limit. I run red lights at speed limit.
So, Sarah, tell me exactly how somebody getting a ticket for speeding prevents them from running a red light.
They'll think better next time.
Well, it's preventative. It's before.
No, it isn't.
It's not.
Right. Look at it. Yeah, this guy never got a speeding ticket. Never got a red light camera ticket.
He might have a whole record of speeding tickets.
A lot of those, he would have been afraid to do this. Now he killed himself, the passenger, and then 7 other people. It's too late.
Thanks for the call, Sarah. We appreciate it. 603-283-6160. Have you ever run a red light? Have you ever been speeding? Did you get away with it? Let us know. This is Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Paging Captain Kickass. Captain Kickass, there's callers on the line for you. Captain Kickass,
please proceed to the white courtesy phone. I've got an angle grinder. You ever see that movie Heavy Metal?
Yes.
Paging Hanover Fist.
I want to say that I don't smoke, so I probably wasn't in the right frame of mind for that movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's an early adult animation.
I get it.
From, 78, 79,
okay.
80 maybe? I don't remember what year.
I probably watched it within the last 2 years. I don't remember exactly when, but I was just mind blown by it. But it wasn't, I probably would not watch it again.
I got something mind blowing for you. In one of the chats says, Richie Rich. They spelled it wrong, by the way. It's R-I-C-H-Y space Rich.
Whatever.
Yeah, I know. It's for you listeners out there in listener land, Richie Rich, it's R-I-C-H and then E.
As the middle initial.
Period. And then Rich. Rich E. Rich. As if right. E was his middle name. The E stands for?
S. E-S.
The E stands for S?
Yeah. Spanish for is.
Rich is. Okay. So anyway, mind-blowing.
It's an affirmation
enough,
as well.
This person in one of the chat rooms says, Richie Rich, you were a tall, slender, balding redhead in my mind. I'm thoroughly pleased you're actually a cute, bearish guy with snake bites, pleasing the hair and bear gods.
Oh, man. I hope she's female, and I hope she's cute.
It's Justin G. Stark.
Son of a gun.
Mind-blowing. all right. So we're back on the air? Is that what we're doing?
We have been. Okay, yeah, for a little bit now.
603-283-6160. I am your host, the Reverend Captain Kickass.
Richie Rich.
And you're the co-host tonight. Yep. Singular. There's just two of us. Generally, there's three, but, well, somebody's helping bring a human being into the world.
What a noble profession that is.
Yeah. How do you, when somebody calls you like, hey, I'm not going to be at the show because I'm bringing a new human into the world, how do you go, well, let's not have that happen too often now. There's no like
20, you're this, like, this okay. Is the second show you've missed this week. We're gonna have to write you up at some point.
I wonder if anybody's actually ever been written up as a co-host here at Free Talk.
Nah, they just get ostracized until they quit voluntarily. Just take them off the schedule.
Oh, boy, what were we talking about?
That's how I got fired once from a job. My buddy just called me and was like, Rich, you're not on the schedule this week. I'm like, well, it's my day off. He's like, no, you're not on schedule all week. I'm like, well, that's news. And then so I never went back to work there.
That sounds like...
And I never talked to the owner. Like, he didn't even have the balls to, like, fire me in person.
So no words were said?
No words were said.
They just didn't put you on the schedule
anymore?
And
I got a new job, and that was
the problem just sort of worked itself out?
It totally did.
It's like Office Space.
Yeah.
Where they stopped paying a guy.
Yeah. Except I didn't show up because I was, you know, I probably would have shown up on my normal shift.
Yeah.
And then they would have had to tell me. But because my buddy told me in advance that I wasn't on schedule, I just stopped going to work, got a new job, and went elsewhere.
All right. Well, we do take phone calls live here.
I don't know why.
At Free Talk Live.
Enough, it's just the two of us.
Let's go right away to Jill in Virginia. Jill, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes, somebody mentioned the idea of speeding being a victimless crime.
Yes.
Totally is.
Well, about 2 months ago on November 17, I was on my bicycle riding to this philosophy meeting I go to about once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Someone in a vehicle come up behind me, slammed me onto the pavement, and drove right on a hit and run.
Oh,
so
geez.
Now you have a hit and run. That is a and crime with the victim.
The bicycle is still in the police property division, I'm told. I had hip surgery and was in a hospital for about a week and then in a rehab center for a few weeks.
Yeah.
So I've been walking around. No, I don't need a wheelchair or a cane or a walker. I'm going to be all right eventually, I suppose.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be able to ride a bicycle.
Yeah. What about a jetpack?
What's that?
What about a jetpack?
What's a jetpack?
It's a thing you strap on. It looks like a backpack, but it lets you fly.
Huh?
Yeah, it's got like it's got like rockets and stuff. Anyway, it's in the future. Don't worry.
So until that guy hit you, right, his speeding was a victimless crime. The crime that he committed was not speeding. It was hitting you.
Right.
And violating your personal autonomy on the bicycle, or however you want to phrase that. But up until that point, no victim. Right. Most
he was doing what could cause it.
He could have been doing what could cause it, but he could also have done it and not caused it. Right. There's parts of the road on my drive to the Free Talk Live studio where I go above the speed limit and hit one tonight. Cause no accidents. Cause no property damage. Cause no personal injury.
Yeah. And then you also have to wonder too, how much of these speed limits, right? I don't even like calling them speed limits because they're really just suggestions.
Right? Okay.
Nobody really like some people will see a speed limit and they will do exactly that speed limit. Some people will see a speed limit and they will do 5 miles an hour under that speed limit or even 10 miles an hour under that.
Yeah.
Some
those are New Hampshire drivers on the drive over here.
Yeah. Some will
five
see
unders.
It. Some will see it.
Jesus.
I'm always doing five over.
I think that's safe. That's reasonable.
By the way, I don't know that it was a guy who hit me. I didn't see the person. It may very well have been a vicious female.
Either way.
Yeah. Could have been somebody's dog. We don't know.
Yeah. An interesting point. This is going to like dovetail a little
when
bit away
I was
from
about
the...
About 10, somebody also killed the family dog, and I remember that for a long time.
I'm going to take a little bit of a detour from this conversation because I do a podcast called The Anarchist Experience, and we occasionally have author of the book, Jonathan Gullible, Ken Schoolin, on the show. And he compares most American speeding, right, with a lot of people's problems with illegal immigrants, like crossing the border.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, all the illegal immigrants are doing, like the law that they're breaking, is just to expedite the process, right? They are trying to get to America sooner than it would take them if they went through the legal channels. Just like most Americans who speed are just trying to expedite the process by getting to their destination faster,
right,
by going a little bit above the speed limit. So fundamentally, it's just about expediting the process. And if you're willing to speed, you should be okay with illegals crossing the border to get here to work sooner.
I'm okay with both of those things, actually.
I know you are. But the people who need to think about this, you know, in their minds, the listeners, perhaps.
Sarah? I mean, Jill?
Jill.
Sorry.
What?
What are your thoughts?
I can't go along with putting other people at actual risk and causing a danger to other people.
Right, but that's reckless driving.
Demonstrable danger. Yeah.
Sure, that's reckless driving.
I'm not in favor of government-built roads except as something like trailblazing to a place during a war. Other than that, I'm not for it. But I think even privately owned roads, they would have to have some way to collect tolls on them and things like that.
Well, sure, but I'm still on the speed part, right? Like, driving a motor vehicle at any rate of speed is dangerous and potentially deadly. And it's government who sort of makes up these speed limits How and why, nobody knows. They just make them up.
I think bikes should be on the sidewalk with pedestrians.
Thanks for the call, Joe. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160 is the number if you would like to join us. When we'll talk more about the scientists predicting the collapse of society when we come back.
Join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 27th through July 3rd for the 6th annual ForkFest at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which sold out for the first time in 2021. ForkFest takes place the week after ForkFest, but ForkFest is decentralized, which means that there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. All you have to do to join the fun is reserve your camping site, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June 27th through July 3rd. There's no better place to celebrate Independence Day than around other freedom-loving activists in the Shire. You can find out more at the unofficial website, forkfest.party. You can also connect with other attendees on the ForkFest Telegram and Matrix chat rooms, as well as the ForkFest forum. You can find links to those at forkfest.party. We hope to see you there. ForkFest.party.
Yeah! Come on! Yeah, come on! Yeehaw!
Yeehaw!
We were doing a bit of that yesterday. We were talking about the Canadian convoy.
What a great thing that is.
That remains to be seen. I mean,
what is your problem with it?
Well, there doesn't seem to be a stated accomplishment that they are attempting to achieve.
I thought it was to prevent Canada from mandating vaccinations.
Right. So what specifically needs to happen for them to go, we won, it's over, you can all go back to trucking now?
Canada walks back their plans to mandate vaccinations.
That's what everybody seems to think. I haven't seen it stated anywhere.
Okay.
Like on any sort of like website about the freedom. I've been to a couple of different websites about this, and I don't see the end goal.
Okay.
Stated. Like, yes, it's the freedom truck now.
I'm pretty sure if Trudeau comes out and says like, okay, we're not going to mandate vaccines in Canada, and we're not even going to, we're it's tabled, put away in the drawer, we're not going to re-bring this up.
I would love to see that.
Okay.
So my problem with it, I don't have a problem with it right now.
Okay.
My problem is that it seems like it's attempting to be co-opted by many other freedom movements. Right?
Okay.
I love that something is happening, that people are against the government mandating, well, anything, really.
I love that they're getting support from outside.
I love that as well, and I love that it's getting national attention, it's getting global attention.
International attention.
Yeah, like I heard that Italy is now doing like a convoy of their, Italy, right?
Yeah.
Who knew, right? And so, like, I love all of the things about it, except for the lack of, like, a stated, you know, end goal, right?
Okay.
We saw this with Occupy Wall Street. Yeah.
Well, okay, but their stated end goal was, like, likely not going to happen, right? They were going to occupy until there was, like, equality amongst something or other, and the 99% versus the 1%, and the 1% starts giving back to the 99%, and they shut down Wall Street and shut down the stock market and, like, not feasible.
Yeah.
Right? So, but stopping the government from mandating vaccines?
So I want that to occur, not just in Canada, but everywhere.
Right.
And also, why did it need to happen in Canada instead of here?
Well, because they were closer to getting the mandate, number one, and Their trucker groups got together and just decided we're going to fix this organically by doing this convoy to Ottawa.
We covered a bit of it, especially the millions of dollars that have been raised to like fund the thing, and so it could go on for
it's a grassroots thing, man. It doesn't look like there was like a guy
I'm supportive of the people protesting, but I just fear that much like all other protests that I've seen in my lifetime, the WTO protests and Seattle, you know, that like nothing really happened.
Well, either the Canadian government's going to back down, or the truckers are going to get hungry, right? Because they go, "Oh, I'm going back to trucking because I got to feed my family," right? And is the government going to wait that out?
Yeah, it remains to be seen.
There's already global supply chain issues.
I know.
And they're making it worse.
I know. And it's great,
for
too,
a good cause.
Because, like, this is... it's exactly the type of... I'm trying to think of the author and the phrasing. It's a, you must throw your bodies upon the levers of the machine and, you know, grind it to a halt. And, you know, it's the great protest speeches that you've heard throughout history.
All of a sudden, Trudeau had COVID and had to go into quarantine because he didn't want to deal with it.
This is Free Talk Live, and we do take phone calls here. Let's go to Richard in New Mexico. Richard, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes, several nights ago on the Albuquerque News Channel station, they announced that New Mexico has another number one dubious distinction, and that is supposedly New Mexico is number one for having the most overweight and most obese children in the United States. And this state really has a leadership.
I don't know. So it's been a long time since I've been to New Mexico. And, well, I kind of hate New Mexico because I had a bad experience there, and I've sort of vowed never to go back unless there were extreme circumstances. But when I was there, I certainly didn't notice, you know, any sort of, you know, odd number or outstanding number of children who were fat. What I did notice was the outstanding number of poor people.
Oh, yes. We have a lot of homeless people around the Albuquerque area, mostly because we have a metropolitan population that's close to 700,000 now. And what they did about a year ago, they built small houses in an area that was supposedly going to house 40 or 50 homeless people. And I don't remember the amount of money that these 40 or 50 houses cost to build, but it was quite high.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the last count that was brought up in the news about the little houses and the homeless people moving into them. Supposedly, there was only 6 homeless houses, people living in these homeless houses, but on the property that was in front of these houses, you have a homeless camp still set up. So they built houses for homeless people, but yeah, because of
it sounds like a government program was involved. Am I right?
Oh yes, yeah. That was definitely.
Were you trying to make a connection between poverty and obesity?
There is a connection, statistically speaking, because with poor people, generally they eat crappier foods, more processed foods, higher in carbs, et cetera, and so on. You can look across the United States specifically. You can look across the United States, and you can see that there is some correlation between being, I won't say poverty, right, because the United States poverty is living like a king in some places.
Well, that's what I was going to get at. I mean, look at this in America. Isn't capitalism grand that even the poor people are fat?
Right. Yeah. You've got fat poor kids.
I've seen the pictures of those Ethiopian children.
Hey, thanks for the call, Richard. We appreciate it. When you're eating mac and cheese and, you know, lots of bread and lots of sugar and lots of high fructose corn syrup and, you know, all of the ingredients in these processed foods that are horrible for you.
Low cost, high calorie count,
you know,
man.
And likely attending public schools where they feed you all sorts of crap as well. It sucks that in order to be healthy, you must be wealthy in some way.
Okay.
Right, as far as your food choices are concerned. Healthier food is more expensive than unhealthy food.
Nicer cars are more expensive, too.
I understand.
Bigger houses are more expensive, too.
But when you're talking about food that most people used to just grow in their backyard, which most people don't do now, right? I'm talking about, like, you know, my grandparents.
Sure.
You know, they had 2 gardens, right?
if you want to talk about the government preventing that, right, that's a conversation that, you know, that we can have. But like an economic system that allows people with little means to get that high calorie count,
yeah,
where they're not just well fed but they're overly well fed,
yeah,
like they can also regulate their intake and save even more money.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah, or their parents can whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I don't really have a problem with that. It seems like a good thing to me. Not the obesity part, but the fact that
that there is plenty.
That even poor people have an overabundance,
yeah,
of calories.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all for a free market. So okay. I have no problem with the free market. There is an extraordinary number of children who are obese in the United States. That's a problem.
It's definitely a problem, but it's, you know, it is what it is.
603-283-6160. Are your kids fat? Did you make them fat? Let us know. This is Free Talk Live. More coming up. Talk Live, your favorite radio program ever. We're a live call-in radio talk program where you can take control of the airwaves. You can join us here by dialing 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Captain.
And Richie Rich.
We've been telling you about how Intercoin can help any business and organization launch their own currency or raise money using their own token. Now, Intercoin has launched its investor token worldwide, and for the first time, it's available on an exchange. You can create an account at xmarkets.com, that's exmarkets.com, with just an email address so you can keep your privacy intact. You can then deposit dozens of different cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, then trade them for Tether, then buy ITR, which is the Intercoin Investor Token. Learn more about the Intercoin vision at intercoin.org, and now you can buy or sell ITR on xmarkets.com. That's exmarkets.com. You just might be advancing the cause of liberty around the world. Did you have more thoughts on the fat kids?
No, I gotta. Okay. I mean, if you want to talk about it more, we can.
I felt like you didn't say all the things you needed to say.
The main point that I was making is, you know, we live in a society where people who are poor, mm-hmm, or impoverished in some way, right, not below like whatever poverty line,
yeah,
still manage to get an overabundance of calories.
Yes,
right, and it's other lifestyle choices that lead to them being obese.
Yeah,
whereas in a lot of other countries, like, poverty means you're malnourished,
right,
and not getting any nutrition.
Yeah, you have a pot belly because you're skinny everywhere else, and you're...
It's distended.
It's distended, yeah.
It's not filled with food. It's distended.
Right. Yeah, it is, and that's why I didn't want to use the word poverty, and I think I mentioned that when we began talking about the subject, because even the poorest people in the United States of America live like kings compared to people who are in actual poverty,
yeah,
but around the world.
But the wealthy people, you know, in this society live well beyond the kings, right, of any. Yeah. And so I was talking to someone, it might have even been, you know, someone on the podcast about that. I go, like, even if we're living better than kings of the 1400s, right, I still want to be living the lifestyle of the wealthy people now or beyond anyway. Because you will always have this conversation, right, like 100 years or 500 years from now, whatever technology that they exist will make their lowest class like equal or better than the highest class that there is today.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So you could always have this conversation, and it's not, we should not be satisfied that we live better than the kings of yesteryear. I want to live better than the kings of today, man. And I don't have a plan yet to get there, but it's certainly a goal.
Well, let us know how that goes, because, you know, I want some inside information there. Let's go to, we've got Bad Slave in New Hampshire calling. Bad Slave, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, Captain. Thanks for taking my call. You know, y'all were bringing up what's to be done. You know, what's the solution for the the convoy, the trucking convoy.
Yeah, what's the end game? What do they want? It's like a hostage situation, and they haven't like told the authorities what they want.
Well, so then fill me in. Where am I getting my information cut from? Because that seems to be the general story, right? I can't point to an exact article.
That's what I'm saying. It's like none of the press has said, hey, this is what it will take for the convoy to end and be called a success.
So they haven't stated the end goal, but they stated the reason why the convoy is existing.
Sure.
And can we not extrapolate to that end goal?
In the first place, you guys have to realize that, the New York Times and the Washington Post and all those big newspapers aren't even writing any articles about there even being a convoy.
Yeah, it's being suppressed in the mainstream media as well.
Yeah, that's my point. And I think that complicity is the issue.
Okay.
It is complicity that has these people being happy with the measures foisted upon them.
Well, I have to say, Bad Slave, I went to the most popular search engine. I typed in one word, convoy. I've got top stories here from the Washington Post. Canada must confront the toxic freedom convoy head on. Fox News.
Toxic freedom convoy.
Fox News, Musk throws spotlight on a Canadian truck convoy with tweet. BBC, freedom convoy, truckers cause chaos in Ottawa. New York Times.
Causing chaos.
New York Times. In Canada, freedom convoy protesting vaccine mandates nears capital. So there are articles being written. They're just not putting the truckers in a positive light.
Yeah.
But for a while, they weren't. It was highly ignored in the media. And it might be to the point now where they can't ignore it because too many other places are covered.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
and so they spin it.
There's people lining the highways, and there's definitely people paying attention, But at the same time, you still have idiots that are happy to, start picking on Spotify. Didn't some new purveyor of music pull their stuff off Spotify too,
I don't know. It's people following trends. It's really weird because the word viral apparently has replaced the word trendy for human beings. And thanks for the call tonight, Bad Slave. Yeah. It really has, because before the internet, things were trendy, right? There was a trend and, everybody's wearing the same style of shirt or whatever it is.
Well, viral also had an original connotation. Right.
It was infected.
It was infected and spread rapidly.
Right.
Yes. Right. So anything that was like small to begin with and then went viral was like it spread so rapidly it became a thing.
Yeah.
Right. Like the chocolate rain kid. Like that was viral. That was like a nothing video and then just blew up all over the place. Same with memes. Right. Memes used to be one thing. Now, like any picture you see on social media is magically a meme.
Well, if it's a picture with words on top of it.
Okay.
Is my definition of a meme.
Sure.
But it could be an advertisement. It could be, now that everybody has sort of been acclimated to the speed of the internet, right?
Yeah.
For the most part, at least in the United States anyway, Western culture, whatever that means. In technologically up-to-date culture, right? Whatever part of the globe you find yourself in, if you're technologically up-to-date, that is, you have a magic rectangle in your pocket and you probably got a computer at home or a laptop or something like that. Generally, you're up-to-date. Now that people are up-to-date with that, people are being trendy, right? But they're doing it faster.
Yeah.
Right? This whole Spotify thing will die off. It's probably already died off.
Yeah.
Like the two or three other artists other than Neil Young who were like, maybe I'm going to take my stuff down too. Right? They threw their tantrum and they took their stuff down and we'll never hear from them again.
But if some YouTube video from like 5 years ago that only had like 25 views on it until today suddenly has a million views because it was shared amongst the right crowd.
Right.
You could say that has gone viral.
Well, and for example, the song Convoy.
Yeah.
Right, from the 1978 movie of the same title, Convoy.
Mm-hmm.
That was a number one hit song when it was released. And then it sort of died off for a minute. And like the following year or maybe 2 years went by and it climbed back up to number one again for some reason. I don't know what the cultural, what was going on in culture at the time that made it rise back up.
Well, and TikTok is doing that for old songs now.
Right. So now with this Canadian Convoy movement, of course, if you go and view any of the, like I saw, I think, five different YouTube videos that have that song Convoy in it. And the most recent comments are all about the Canadian Convoy.
Nice.
So like this song has seen a resurgence in population due to the protests. And everybody who's gone to YouTube to find the song has made some comment about, yep, I'm here because of the Canadian thing. And like, you know I stand in solidarity with our Canadian brothers and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So. I don't know what my point was.
It's a great song.
I had a point, but...
Big Bear, this is the rubber duck. About to put the hammer down.
Breaker 19, this is the rubber duck. Let's go to Major Payne in Michigan. Major, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys. I think that song might have climbed back up to number one because of the Burt Reynolds movies, Smokey and the Bandit. Seems to me that was right about the right time.
Oh, good call. Good call.
Hey, yeah, but we've had three crazy women governors in a row here. And this last one here, Gretchen the Great, old Whitmer. I think she may or may not.
Hey, Major,
be
related can you hang on? I'll bring you back. Can you hang on?
All right,
stand by. 603-283-6160. We'll hear more about what happened with Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan coming up on Free Talk Live.
On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important issues years ago.
To random people tuning in on the radio.
I was kind of stuck in the left-right paradigm. I heard your show by chance on a Saturday night. From there, I went on, joined the Free State Project, and become an amplifier. So, I mean, that's really the reason why I amp is because I know that if it wasn't for you guys being on as many stations as you are, I never would have found the ideas of liberty.
You can help more people hear the message of liberty by joining Free Talk Live's AMPS program on Patreon for as little as $5 a month. And you'll get access to special perks. Visit amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live.
Yes, it is Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160. If you would like to join our conversation tonight in the studio, it's myself, the captain.
And Richie Rich.
I do want to tell you that Free Talk Live's video archives have been on Library for years. Library is an uncensorable, decentralized, blockchain-based media sharing protocol. And we're big fans of that here on Free Talk Live. In 2020, Library launched Odyssey, a video sharing website to compete with YouTube. And it's really taking off now with over 1 million channels, many of whom are disaffected YouTube creators. During YouTube's crackdown for not towing the government line on COVID, the Free Talk Live YouTube channel started receiving strikes and could be completely taken down at any moment. Thankfully, Odyssey started offering live streaming, so we're now streaming live every night and posting our video archives permanently to Odyssey. You can watch live or anytime on our Odyssey video channel by visiting video.freetalklive.com. If you want to go all in, download the desktop app at lbry.com, and then every video archive you watch, you'll help seed to keep it online forever. Visit video.freetalklive.com and follow us on Odyssey today. Video.freetalklive.com. Let's go back to Major Payne calling from Michigan. Major Payne, we didn't really even get started. So what's on your mind tonight?
I mentioned that we are now on our third female governor. And let me give you a little history of the genius moves of these girls here over the years. The first one signed a deal with Canada to sell them hundreds of thousands of gallons of water daily out of the Great Lakes. Mm-hmm. Well, the lake level on Lake Huron dropped between 6 and 10 feet, and stayed that way for about 15 years. It's just now creeping back. The second one, and one of these two was a Canadian. She wasn't even an American. The second one decided that we should take Canada's trash. Like, we don't have enough of our own freaking trash.
Wow.
And Canada's got a whole lot more backcountry to put landfills in than we do.
Yeah, certainly.
Send it up north.
And then, and then this third one here, when this epidemic first hit, Bridget's what sparked this idea back into my head. She banned, you couldn't buy garden seeds at any, Home Depot or anything.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that. They were prohibiting people from buying seeds, heirloom seeds specifically.
Yeah. They were they want you to eat this GMO stuff.
There's also been articles, I don't know if it was Michigan specifically, where, people had gardens in their front yard, right? And they said, no, you have to plant grass. No growing food in the front yard to feed your family.
Right.
That's nuts. But anyway, a byproduct of this was, then you're hemmed up inside. You're not getting any vitamin D and vitamin K from the sunshine to help you fight this virus.
Yep.
It's a double-edged sword here, dude. This whole thing is maniacally planned.
Yeah, and like vitamin D deficiency can do all sorts of other things to the human body. If I happen to know somebody that was recently diagnosed with a vitamin D deficiency, and the number of health ailments that this person is suffering from because of this is far greater than I even thought. So, vitamin D is very important. Get your daily. It doesn't even have to be sunshine. People think that, like, it's got to be sunny. No, it just has to be daytime. You just have to get some daylight.
Yeah.
And you can't get it through a window. Windows will block the vitamin. You have to go outside during the daytime for at least 15 minutes or so. Once a day is, generally speaking, enough to make a difference.
And in New England, you may have to supplement.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to be trolls. You got to get outside.
Indeed. Anything else, Major?
Nah, nothing sparking right now.
Hey,
talk to you guys later. Peace out.
Thanks for the call.
The COVID thing is another, the lockdowns and whatnot is another area where it doesn't make sense if you're thinking about it logically. But if you think about it from the perspective of the government's goal is to control and keep you weak,
yeah,
right? Then all of a sudden, everything that they're doing makes sense. They just will never state that as their goal.
Right. And the outcome is horrible.
Like, yeah.
The outcome that they want is horrible. In my opinion, anyway. And so, will this all lead to society's collapse?
Soon.
And if so, when might that occur? Well, this article from the Daily Star over in the UK...
Trust the science.
...says that scientists used computer... Not a computer. Scientists used computer to predict exactly when society will collapse in 21st century.
Are
we in the 21st century?
We are. Dodgers!
So, Duck Dodgers in the 24 and a half century. Subheading, a group of scientists used a computer and their knowledge of trends to make a prediction about when society would begin to collapse. And the answer isn't so far away.
Dun, dun, dun. Collapse in our lifetime.
Let's see if they define societal collapse, right? Because... what I think societal collapse is and what other people think societal collapse is could be two very different things.
A return to nature.
Some people think just the end of government is a societal collapse. It's not. Society exists. I went over this yesterday. If you didn't catch yesterday's episode, you can find it at freetalklive.com. Society and government, two completely different things. That's why there's two different words.
Well,
society exists independently.
There are synonyms in the English language.
Yeah, but those are not synonyms. Okay. Government and society are not synonymous.
I understand.
That's my point, is that they're not synonymous.
Okay.
Anyway, during the 1970s, scientists used a computer and observations on changing trends to predict exactly when society would collapse. The scientific observation was carried out by a group of scientists from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, a.k.a. MIT, more than five decades ago. According to their findings, the prediction was made, or that was made, that society would crumble near the midpoint of the 21st century, specifically in the year 2040. So what is it, 22 now?
22.
So
anyone born today, don't worry about it. You won't make it through high school.
This reminds me of how well brainwashed I was as a child by government and schools and all that kind of thing, because they had everyone believing that the world was going to end any day because the Russians were going to drop the bomb, the nukes.
Well, they have the world, the end time clock, right? They tick it a minute closer every time something weird happens.
Yeah.
Do they ever roll that thing back at all?
Like, no, it's like kicking the can down the road. It moves subtly,
okay,
but it's always in the future. It's never like about to happen. It's always like, oh, yeah, it's, you know, off in the future.
So that's the scary thing. Maybe not about this particular society, but other societal collapses around the globe. Right. The way it's explained to me, it's not overnight, but it is sudden. Right, like one day everything's fine, and then all of a sudden, boom, chaos.
Well, what do you define as a societal collapse? Because something like the Soviet Union breaking up, not a societal collapse. That's a government collapse.
Understood. So, but when the food supply runs short, right, and there's now looting and pillaging and violence in the streets because people are all of a sudden hungry.
That sounds like a societal collapse.
Right. And I was nervous that we were close to that at the beginning of 2020 when the government shut everything down.
Yeah.
Right. And then all of a sudden, like, you think there wasn't going to be supply chain issues, and we're years past that at this point.
Yeah.
And we're still trying to dig our way out of those supply chain issues.
Yeah. So at any rate, these scientists predicted that society would crumble near the midpoint of the 21st century in 2040. The group looked at data patterns from various factors, including the population, the use of natural resources, and energy consumption to make their prediction. The team's academic study has been published by Club of Rome and identified upcoming limits to growth which would cause the collapse. In 2009, a different team of researchers did a similar study, which American scientists published. They issued that the model's results were almost exactly on course some 35 years later. That's creepy, right?
Like, science was better in the 70s.
Like, in the 70s, they predict it'll be 2040. And now in 2009, another team of researchers did a similar study. And they're like, yeah, those guys are pretty much spot on, at least according to what we can see.
Science was smarter in the 70s. They actually did the science.
they performed the actual scientific portion of the science.
Instead of just like trying to get their trends to get the match what the government wants them to get.
More Free Talk Live is on the way. We'll talk more about society's collapse.
That's the number to call.
603-283-6160.
To get your voice heard on the air.
It is Free Talk Live. That phone number is the number you need should you wish to join our conversation.
I just told him that.
Tonight. Or really any night, 7 days a week, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
And Richie Rich.
And let's just go right away to Padraig calling from New Mexico. Padraig, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay.
Good.
On the back of my Colorado driver's license, and I'm talking to the truck drivers that are listening to you right now, is P2, X, and T. X and T. P2, X, and T.
Okay.
The X is hazmat. I used to haul spent nuclear rods from Whidbey Island, Washington, down to Carlsbad, New Mexico.
Do you have three eyes?
No, I have probably about half an eye left.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. They're only gross weighted at 85,000 pounds. And I used to drive a truck that was 120,000 pounds. It's lead-lined. Yeah, I'm trying to support the truck drivers that are going up to Canada, and I don't know how to give them the money. I know they have to eat. I know they have to get gas,
fuel, I got you.
Trucks. and I'm looking for some way that I can get them my money. I have $100. It's not much, but I'd like to support them.
They had a GoFundMe. Didn't it get shut down?
It's back up.
Okay.
Or at least it was. Hang on. Let me see if I can.
I'm just looking for some way to support them.
Yeah. Here we go. Freedom Convoy 22022. GoFundMe.com. Freedom Convoy 2022 is what you want to search for. Apparently, they've raised over almost $9 million now.
I'd like to give them $100 so they could eat.
Yep.
There you go.
Yep. So in your favorite search engine, like Google, for example, type in GoFundMe Freedom Convoy 2022. It should get you there. It looks like it is up and active. It has not. This one has not been taken down. I know that there was an original Facebook page for the convoy that was taken down. They had to put up another one. That one has remained. There's a couple other things that they ran into, bumps in the road, trying to get this thing going. That, you know, the tech companies, they lean left, so they don't want to see this kind of thing.
That's the difficult thing when going up against the state, right? Whether here or in Canada.
Wait, you guys are both talking. Rich, go ahead.
Awesome. That's the difficult thing when going up against the state, whether here or in Canada, is they can wait you out for the most part.
That's true. Padraig, go ahead. What were you saying?
But it's a start. It's a start.
Yeah. It's symbolic, and I hope it works out.
Well, I actually hope it grows into something more.
Yeah.
Right, than just the mandates. Well, because if the truckers are on board with freedom in general.
We'll see.
Right.
If down they with are, this part of freedom.
At least in this part, right? And they see that this is an effective way to make change to the behemoth that most people refer to as government.
Well, then I challenge all American truckers to cease operations until the federal government returns to the size that the Constitution demanded.
Or smaller.
That's a start, though. Can we get there?
Yeah.
Would you be happy if the truckers shut down until the federal government was the size of the constitutionally mandated one? Is that a good start? Yes. Work back from there?
It would certainly be a big step in the right direction.
Well, there you go. Yes. The challenge has been laid out.
Just prepare. Tell the people to prepare.
Yeah, well, we've been kind of telling people to prepare here on Free Talk Live for a really long time.
I know. I hear you all the time. Just tell the people to prepare. I am prepared. I'll take care of my neighbors. Yep. I'll watch over them. I'll feed them. I'm prepared.
Yeah.
Okay. How long are you prepared for?
As long as it takes.
Well, okay. I hear the sentiment, right? But when it comes to food, if food's not being delivered and you don't have your own grow operation, right? Like how much food is in the basement that the preppers have, right? You 6 month supply, 1 year supply. What's sufficient?
I hear Captain Payne talking about seeds. I'm a farmer now. I have a farm. Okay. I grow food. Oh, so I have food.
Major Payne.
Yeah.
Yeah, Major Payne. Yeah. I hear Major Payne talking about the seeds.
Yeah.
There's a specific name that they called it, and I don't know what it is now.
Heirloom. But, heirloom seeds.
No, you're probably right, and I'm incorrect. They're taking the seeds and they're messing with the seed, so it only grows to 1 year. It has a 1 year germination period. Oh, that's it.
It's GMO and seeds.
The seeds from the kids cannot germinate. Like you grow a tomato, and then you take the tomato plant, and then you take the seeds. The seeds cannot germinate, and there's a name for it. And I can't remember the name.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I've heard of this before, and it is horrific. Yeah. But at the same time, nature seems to find a way. Now, whether nature finds a way to abscond of humanity is a whole other topic of conversation, because you know, when we talk about things like societal collapse or you know being prepared to go without food for an extended period of time, grow your own stuff, that kind of a thing. I think it's still safe to say that, you know, if you have some gardening experience and you have some seeds, that's a good part of your plan.
I hate to bring it up multiple times in one episode, but on the podcast, my podcast yesterday, we were basically covering it with KS, Ken Schoolin.
Yeah.
And there was some law passed in like the 40s or something, so like 80 years ago, that prevents farmers from growing food to feed their livestock,
right,
without paying some tax or violate some interstate commerce something or other, right? So when you say like you want to grow your own food, the state is already regulating that, and if they're willing to stop, you know, pass laws then and there, if you start withholding that from them, right, and not trading, if the truckers really did shut down,
yeah,
how long before they stop local farmers from growing their own food and feeding your neighbors?
Well,
if you think you can do that indefinitely,
it depends on the size of the farmers, right? If they're super small farmers, farmers generally operate within a smaller circle,
sure,
of community. So, you know, if you're a farmer and I'm a farmer, well, I can grow feed to feed your animals, and then, yep, your feed can feed mine. So, I mean, there's ways to get around that kind of stuff.
Until the local government agents show up because they're hungry, because the shelves are bare, and they know, yeah, who they can steal from directly.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is testing the extent of anybody's preparation plan.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Padraig?
That's why I asked, how long are you prepared for?
You guys definitely have your eye on the target.
Hey, thanks for the call, Padraig. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160. What eventuality are you prepared for, if you're prepared at all? Have you thought about what will happen if the truckers do go on strike and the supply chain problems get worse? And
I got guns and ammo. That's all I need.
Well, you might need more than that. More Free Talk Live is coming up.
So the protection of life, liberty, and property is what the Free State Project is all about. But it's an effort to move 20,000 people who understand.
It's about demonstrating to the entire country
that, yeah, we can have a free market, a truly free market.
Making it just a freer, great place to live.
It's the world's largest voluntarist libertarian community, and it's only getting bigger.
That's amazing, to be able to move to a place where other people like passionately believe in being free and independent.
What the Free State Project is managing to do, though, is to put their money where their mouth is. Physically getting up across the country and saying, let's go someplace and let's demonstrate the power of these ideas. There's a lot of kind of philosophy that surrounds liberty. There's a lot of thinking about it and talking about it. But here in New Hampshire, people are doing it.
101 Reasons Liberty Lives in New Hampshire, a documentary by Free State Project Early Movers. Watch it free at 101reasonsfilm.com. 101reasonsfilm.com.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It is Free Talk Live. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Captain.
And Richie Rich.
The telephone number is 603-283-6160 if you would like to join us. I want to get to this story, or at least continue on with this story, about when will society collapse? Apparently, some scientists in the 1970s did some computations, and they said mid-21st century in 2040. That's 2040.
Oh, that science probably been debunked.
You would think so in the 70s, right? So in 2009, a different team of researchers did a very similar study, which American scientists published, and they issued that the model's results were almost exactly on course some 35 years later, with a few appropriate assumptions. The predictions have not been invalidated and appear to be quite on target. In 2020, the Dutch sustainability researcher Gaia Harrington affirmed the bleak predictions made in the study. So in the 70s, then 2009, and again in 2020, Gaia, who works at multinational accounting firm KPMG, told The Guardian, "From a research perspective, I felt a data check of a decades-old model against empirical observations would be an interesting exercise." She investigated the predictions made back in 1972 and compared them to current data trends. It revealed a worst-case scenario of economic growth coming to a halt at the end of this decade and collapsing around 10 years later. Gaia did shine some light on how changing attitudes and habits could reposition the discourse despite the gloomy observation.
Does it have to only be economic growth? Like, I get it that you want to continue to grow, but even if it stagnates, like, we have it pretty good right now.
Yeah, and I mean, there's things about the Earth that just need simple solutions. Like, we know that there's already enough food produced on planet Earth to feed all of the humans. The reason some humans go without food over other humans is literally governments getting in the way of distribution. We have a distribution problem, right? The goods can't make it to the markets where it's needed for whatever reason. Generally, it's government interference, red tape, you know,
bureaucracy,
you know, some sort of taxation or
tariffs on imports,
embargoes, yada, yada, yada. You know, it's some sort of government interference preventing the food from reaching
the markets. We send the food for the smaller nations and the warlords steal it.
All that kind of thing. Gaia also added, the key finding in my study is that we will have a choice to align with a scenario that does not end in collapse.
Ah, do you take the red pill or the blue pill of societal collapse?
What the heck? Did you just take both pills? What the heck's wrong with you? It's part of that drug cocktail from the human pig heart transplant, right?
The secret ingredient is cocaine.
She continues to say, with innovation in business, along with new developments by governments and civil society, continuing to update the model provides another perspective on the challenges and opportunities we have to create a more sustainable world.
Is this one of those end-of-the-world fear-mongering things where it's always just around the corner? Right.
I mean, 2040 is pretty specific. I understand. The original study.
But when 2040 comes around and society doesn't collapse, and I go like, well, we reran the models, it's 2065. Right? They extend the prediction ad infinitum to always keep people on the edge and in line and in control.
The problem that I have with models, not like, you know, gorgeous women who...
I prefer them,
you know,
super.
Put on, yeah. With scientific models, recently there were some scientific models that governments used to scare the crap out of the world.
Yeah.
And those models were radically incorrect.
Right. So you have the original model from the 70s that's like, okay, it's going to be 70 years out.
Yep.
Right? A lot can change between 1970 and 2040. That could alter that trajectory in some form or fashion, right? But then you have the, you know, 45-year, when was the 35-year-old redo of the model?
Yeah.
They go like, no, I'm still on track.
It was 2009.
Okay.
And then 2020.
29-year-old, yeah. So still on track, but between now and 2000, like 18 years, right? There's a lot of technological innovations that is going to happen regardless. In that 18 years, and a lot of, you know, hopefully move to more freedom, at least in our community, in the next 18 years, where we can throw that course off and, you know, put societal collapse out even further.
It is creepy, and I think I mentioned this in the previous segment, but it is creepy that the study in 1972 predicted, you know, the year 2040 for the collapse. Yeah. And then the one in 2009 said, yep, right on track.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the creepy part of this article.
Right.
I don't want to say fearful because, you know, I mean, society could collapse at any day or it could just go on.
Right. But what year was the Mayan calendar supposed to, like, the end of the world?
2012.
Okay. Yeah. So we passed that. Right. And there's still, you know, the religious folks out there with their end of the world scenarios and predictions. And we pass those and they're still popular because they just go like, well, I spoke to the Lord God, Jesus, Jehovah, and he told me that we've done just fine. And now it's, you know, not going to happen for another 35 years. So I think it's an intriguing article. I don't believe that all of a sudden, like 2040 or mid 2040s is going to roll around. And it's just going to be like the end.
Right.
But as I said earlier, if it does happen, right, it will be sudden, right? With the, there's all economic collapse right now in the United States. Like, all signs point to very soon.
Oh, yeah. Well, the math on that has been not a question of if, but a question of when.
Right. And which brings me to my, I'm going to, you know, upset some libertarians now. Ooh. Right? Right? It's because, like, how long have we been listening to Ron Paul predict the end?
Right, yeah.
Right? He's been saying it. Ron Paul's been saying it since the 70s. It's been 50 years. Like, at what point do you go, like, nah, he's wrong. Right? But they can do this as long as they want, maybe. Or give me a real prediction for an end date on when the dollar will collapse and it'll be thrown into chaos and get your gold and silver and cryptocurrencies down. Because if you're planning on the collapse, like, you could bet on the collapse, mm-hmm. right? Like, there are ways to hedge your personal life, your financial life,
yep.
to go like, nope, I foresee this coming, right? If you're predicting, like, the collapse of the U.S. dollar
yeah.
in the near future, it would behoove you to take on an abundance of debt, right? Because debt now paid back with future worthless currency, right, gets paid back quicker. And you know, so there's how you put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't collapse in the next 5 years and you've got hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt and the dollar's strong, you're screwed.
Right. I don't know how that would really, you know, piss off libertarians. I think there are many libertarians.
Because I'm calling out Ron Paul for being wrong for 50 years.
Well, okay, that part maybe. I was just going to say there's plenty of libertarians I know that are on board with, like, the whole, like, yeah, if the dollar is going to collapse, you should take on debt because it'll be...
It's a smart strategy, but if you would listen to Ron Paul saying that in the 70s and taking on a whole bunch of debt in the 70s, and it's 50 years and it still hasn't collapsed?
Yeah.
You're poor, broken, upset, man.
I'm on the wagon where, like, I think you should be rid of debt, right? And it has no bearing on whether or not the dollar is going to collapse. I just think being debt-free is a lifestyle choice.
It can be, but using debt to your advantage is also a lifestyle choice.
That is true, and I have done that, which is why I'm not debt-free.
Okay.
I'm debt-selective is what I am. I'm working towards debt freedom.
You can use it to work for you or not.
603-283-6160. Do you believe the dollar will collapse very soon? Let us know. This is Free Talk Live. More coming up. Some of us are front, some are back.
Some of us are top, some of us are bottoms.
Some are side.
We didn't even share that information.
Some are side, some are, I guess that's about it, right?
Okay.
Either front, back, top, bottom, or side.
Left side, right side?
You could be fair to Midland, I guess. This is
some
Free Talk.
Some of us are extra medium.
That's true.
Some of us are
extra medium. Some of us are double extra medium. Whoa.
Think about that. Time cube, I'm telling you.
This is Free Talk Live. It is the final segment, sadly, of tonight's show. And in the studio, it's myself, the captain.
And Richie Rich.
If you've missed any part of tonight's program, we're on air live 7 nights a week for 3 hours between 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. Some of you may be hearing this broadcast outside of those hours. That's fine. But if you want to call and get on the show, you have to call between those hours. So please do so. If you've missed any part of the show, you can find all of the shows in their entirety over at freetalklive.com. We also offer a digest version that's a day in arrears, so a day behind. So this guy, Riley, we don't employ him to do this. He decided to do it of his own accord. He makes a 30-minute version of, it's around 30, sometimes it's closer to 40, sometimes it's 25, depends. He makes sort of the highlights of every show. He does a version of that, and he just asks if you enjoy it to kick him down some cryptocurrency or join his Patreon. So please do that, because he does a great job. If you don't have a full 3 hours to catch up on what's going on with Free Talk Live, the digest version is where it's at. Let's go to your calls and thoughts. We have Peakless Mountaineer calling from New Hampshire.
Dude, just because you were late to your segment yesterday doesn't mean you can take up the end of ours tonight.
Well, fine, I'll leave.
Well, and it begins. Peakless, what's on your mind?
Well, you're down a host. I figured I'd throw a hand in.
Not as cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's fair.
It's true, and it was a last minute thing too. As some of you know, Nikki is involved in doula and that kind of stuff. She's actually
midwifery.
Yeah, midwifery, and she's doing midwifery things. And it involved bringing another human into this world, and that took longer than it was supposed to. And so,
do you even midwifery, bro?
I do not.
No, me neither.
Yes. What about extra midwifery?
Maybe.
Peakless?
I prefer midwifery.
Very well.
Extra midwifery.
Yep.
Well, what were you calling about tonight?
So a few things. First off, I wanted to talk about your pigs.
Which ones? The ones with badges or the fat kids?
Neither. The kind with heart. So it actually kind of makes sense to me why they'd try to put a pig heart in a human. Pigs are actually really similar to humans in a lot of ways. Just ask a cannibal. That's why they call them long pork.
Okay.
Oh, geez. I've never met a swine that could play electric guitar, though.
Why do you suppose they use the cocaine? Like, do you have any theories on...
No, that I actually wanted... I figured that one out. So it's kind of like if you're having trouble getting your car started, you want to throw some starter in there, which, like, burns really fast, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
So but part cocaine, of the cocktail was like already the... adrenaline.
Yeah, well, they need a little extra on there. Okay. And, I mean, the reason cocaine kills people is it makes their heart beat too fast and just busts it up.
So you're saying it's like racing fuel.
Yeah.
Like octane booster.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We should start microdosing cocaine.
Macrodose?
No, I said microdose.
Oh, Jesus.
Just to give it a little... How crazy do you think I am?
Like, I was in heavy metal bands for a long time. I've done my share of that type of thing, but like beyond macrodose.
No, like a small little octane booster. Just a bump here and there. That's all you need.
If you are having trouble with your heart not beating enough, that in theory that might work.
Okay,
a microdose, like one grade. You can do one single grade.
Okay, you can't even cut that up on the mirror with a credit card.
Wow. So the other thing I wanted to talk about was the fat kids.
Okay.
So it seems to me a really big reason for why childhood obesity and obesity in general is happening is because the support that the government gives the grain growers, like, the whole food pyramid thing.
Yeah.
6 to 10 servings of grain every day. That is insane. No one needs that.
No, that's true. And in fact, I've been told, I'm trying to remember the guy's name, Tim Ferriss. He's a author and speaker and nutrition guy and, a knower of things. He, in fact, says that the old pyramid is upside down.
Yeah. It's also because they make them sedentary for 6-hour day with, like, only 15 minutes of recess or whatever it happens to be.
Well, and let's
that is a good point.
And let's not forget lockdowns.
Yeah.
In addition to video games.
Like, I don't,
everyone
having
enough trouble already.
I don't care what the judgment on me is, but I'm one of those people that goes like ADD and ADHD, probably not a thing in kids. Right?
Oh,
like,
yeah, no,
they're supposed to be hyper and they're supposed to be active and they're supposed to be like engaging their curiosities.
Yeah.
And then you sit them behind a desk for 6 hours. And if they move ever so slightly, they get diagnosed and medicated.
Yeah.
I go like, probably just let them be kids, man.
With basically meth.
Right. Just let them be kids, let them run around, let them explore, let them be curious, and maybe all that running around and burning of calories, even if they were eating a high grain, crap government diet, right, probably won't let them get to that stage.
Yeah.
But you feed them junk, and then you don't let them burn it off because you sit them at a desk, not good for their health.
Agreed.
Well, the problem isn't that we're boring them. It's that they're not on enough meth, clearly.
Yeah. Not made for factory work is not a bad thing anymore.
Well, right. And I've said it again, or I've said it many times. I'll say it again. But the public education system is based on the Prussian factory worker training programs.
Yeah.
It's not designed...
And soldiers.
And soldiers,
factory
yeah.
workers and soldiers.
Not designed to educate people. It's actually designed to give you a crash course in how to, you know, pull the levers and, you know, turn the screws or operate the machinery of whatever factory you happen to be employed by. It was never designed to be an educational system. But because it worked for that... It became popular, became trendy, yeah. and all of a sudden, every government needed to have it, and then they got it, yeah. and now here we are.
Every once in a while, I'm reminded of how like bright my son is. I go, you guys should probably get him out of school then. Like, school is not the place for bright kids.
No, it's not.
If he's as bright as you say it is, you're doing him a disservice by leaving him in that trap.
Yeah, the only possible way that a bright kid in a public school is doing any good is if they are helping the other kids.
Sure. And maybe he is. I don't get that detailed reports, but yeah. I go like, if he's as bright as you say, like, not the place for him.
Yeah.
Get him out, let him do his own thing. And that goes for all bright kids. If you're in like AP classments or enrichment or any of the like, oh, I'm the gifted ones, right? You don't belong there. You should be out educating yourself, doing your own thing.
What else you got, Peakless?
Well, I just had a sort of comment on the other night. You guys were talking about AIs and stuff from, verbal abuse of AI girlfriends and stuff.
Yes, I do remember.
So Richie, do you seriously not see a problem with the whole, like, transhuman turning humans into AI thing? It just doesn't bother you at all.
Be more specific with the question. I'm not bothered by advancements in technology, if that answers your question. Otherwise, you got to be more specific with the question.
Well, so one of the branches of transhumanism is like turning human beings into artificial intelligences so they can live forever.
Okay.
Kind of thing.
I would not object to my consciousness being placed in a robot body. Like, if that extends my life beyond my natural time, like, I'm all for it.
Or having your existing body modified in such a way that it never dies and you continue to live forever.
Yeah, totally. I'm there. I would love to get to the point where immortality is a thing, and I would love to be immortal.
Yeah, that creeps me right out.
Okay.
And the way I figure
but
it, I
don't
mean,
worry,
it's
people,
not going to have the perception that you do. I mean, like, a lot of your thing is living in a human body.
Hey, Peakless, don't worry, and thanks for the call. Don't worry, Peakless, because when it comes to immortality, there can be only one. We are out of time. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you missed any of our show, visit freetalklive.com. Thanks and peace.
We'd like to invite you to visit freekeen.com. Freekeen.com features audio, video, and blogs chronicling the transition to a voluntary society. Freekeen.com also has comments and discussion forums so you can be heard. Freekeen.com.